الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. As we walked away in the last class, some of our members raised some issues, essentially two. One is the quick, inshallah, straightforward issue. He asked that in al-isti'azatu min al-arba'i, while making tashahhud, if we ask Allah for protection from four things. He said, if we count them from two reports, they will be five, not four. In one of them says, and the one we read, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azab jahannam wa a'udhu bika min fitnati عذاب القبر وأعوذ بك من فتنة عذاب القبر وأعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات وأعوذ بك من فتنة من شر فتنة المسيح الدجال. So four things: عذاب جهنم، عذاب القبر، فتنة المحيا والممات، شر فتنة المسيح الدجال. In another report, that's what I'm also conversant with most. It says, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من عذاب القبر. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من عذاب القبر وأعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات وأعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال وأعوذ بك من المأثم things, disobedience to Allah, the things that bring disobedience. المغرم is being in debt. We ask Allah from refuge from indebtedness. In that hadith, Aisha رضي الله عنها asked the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, why are you asking Allah refuge for or against indebtedness? This is says the annar rajul, because the individual, when he becomes indebted, iza haddatha kadhaba, when he speaks he will lie. If the individual becomes indebted, when he talks he will lie. He will say, inshallah, inshallah, I will pay tomorrow. He will not pay tomorrow. I will give it. He will not pay. He does not intend a lie, but lies will come upon his tongue. May Allah protect all of us. So you see, al-ma'asam wal-maghram was not in the first report. So it says that will be five, not four. The quick answer to that is that I have found now to that. Perhaps tomorrow we'll find a better answer to that. Is that Imam Al-Albani in Sifat Salat al-Nabi, he mentions the riwayah with Al-Mahsan wal-Maghram under the aspects of Ad-Du'a in the Tashahhud. He does not mention it as part of At-Ta'awud min al-Arba. Do we understand? At-Ta'awud min al-Arba is the first report. From the aspects of Al-Adiyah, the supplications we make in that tashahhud are those four in the report that contains al-ma'sam wal-maghram. That is one easy way to resolve the matter. Very easy way. So he didn't go on start talking about a tawfiq, a harmonizing the report. They are in different situations. So that was the first issue a brother raised. I wouldn't remember the brother's state, but I remember the issue. So we can say it like that. In the first, during At-Tashahhud, Al-Isti'adhatu min al-Arba, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min a'zabi jahannam, wa a'udhu bika min fitnati a'zabi al-qadr, wa a'udhu bika min fitnati al-mahya wal-mamat, wa a'udhu bika min sharri fitnati al-masih al-dajjal, in the ta'awud min al-Arba. But when we make dua after that ta'awud, maybe we say, Allahumma hafni min sarai sira, like we mentioned the last class. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri ma amiltu, wa a'udhu bika min sharri ma lam a'mal. Then we can say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azab al-qadri, wa a'udhu bika min fitnati al-masih al-dajjal, wa a'udhu bika min fitnati al-mahya wal-mamat, wa a'udhu bika min al-ma'asami wal-maghrib. I hope this point is clear. So they are not five, they are four. I have not seen any of the ulama referring to it as five. They call it four. But what can be said again that the individual will not be erring is that if you employ the expression of al-ma'asam wal-maghram under al-isti'adhatu min al-arba, you will not have been wrong too. It can be employed for al-isti'adhatu min al-arba. The second issue one of our brothers raised was, we said that during taslim itself, there are about four ways of making taslim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We mentioned that when we turn our head, somebody sitting behind us should be able to see our cheek. It used to be said that hatta yura bayadu khaddihi. So you can say al-ayman or al-aysar, the left or the right or the left. He makes taslim, he will turn his head alayhi salatu wasalam, such that the whiteness of his cheek will be seen from behind. So it's a full turn, except somebody who has issues with his neck. We all know those conditions. But the third part is the individual should turn his neck properly to the right and to the left and say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is the most widely reported siga for at-taslim. The Imam al-Albani said, if this hadith is mutawatir, a hadith on at-taslim with this expression is mutawatir. Abdullah ibn Umar reported, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhum reported, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri reported, and others amongst them. The Sheikh al-Albani said, it's mutawatir, all it's in our hands. The day we start counting the ahadith that are mutawatira, and we know tawatir bin nafs imamin, one of the imams will make a clear-cut statement that this hadith is what? Mutawatir. We know ahadith al-mutawatir, so ahadith that a large number of companions reported it. And then in the second category, the tabi'un, large number of tabi'un. In the third category, large number of atba'un tabi'in. Like that. Large number. Not above five. Anything from five above, six, seven, ten. But we won't say, oh, it is mutawatir until we find an authority in the field saying that this hadith is mutawatir, we accept it as mutawatir. So that's why the most common thing and the best of what to do is to say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. There's a report of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum. Ulama are divided about this report. Some say Assalamu alaikum is min tasarruf al-nusakh. Those who report, who write, who copy the report. They stop Assalamu alaikum because you know that it should end at wa rahmatullah ordinary. It's like someone wants to say, those days when we write notes, You want to say organization. You say ORG, NF. Under the N, you put in organization, short form. So it's like shortening the second Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. That was why they said Assalamu alaikum. Ulama say, what is the proof for that statement? If you say it is tasarruf al-nusakh, the copiers intended to do a summary, what is the proof? What is there an indication that shows that they are trying to summarize? Is there something that indicates that? They say no, because the large majority reported Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. But that is an indication that when they say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum for the second one, they actually intend the first one, because they know that you already know that it should be Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah on both occasions. Don't be surprised. That is the view of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopi. He believes that we should say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. But to say tasarruf al-nusakh really requires much more than that. To say it was copious, making a summary, that's why we say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah on the right, and then we say Assalamu alaikum on the left. It requires much more than that as a proof to establish that statement. So the safer thing is to say that a second way to make a tasleem is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum. The first way is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The second way is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum. You will ask me, why all these explanations? This world has changed. Everything you are doing now, you must know the reason why you are doing it. Otherwise, somebody will send you one message one day, you read it and you become confused. But if you hear that, I want to come to a better lesson, you say, ah, what shall I do? You explain to us. So you know the position. The first way to say as-taslim is to say what? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The second way is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum. The third way is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. If you go to Sifatu Salatul Nabi, Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah says that it should be Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. There should be no wa barakatuhu on the left. This was the issue that the brothers raised with me in the last, immediately we finished with the last class. And over the week, during the week, the brothers, Sheikh Al-Albani, yes. But his opinion in that, rahimahullah, is a weak opinion. The correct thing is to say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the right, and also say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the left. So this is why I like to share a little bit more light on this. Because apart from those of us, these kinds of issues, we have a class where we resolve them. Fortunately for us, those classes did not hold. Fortunately. Otherwise, we might not have brought them here. But one benefit of mentioning it here, FYI, is some of our brothers are far away listening to us. On the day of Juma, last Juma, a brother mentioned a question, an issue about some of what we discussed, and told me he was in Saudi Arabia. Yesterday, a brother mentioned an issue we discussed and said he was in the UK. So it means if we discuss a matter, we should discuss it in such a way that every person who listens to it, whether he is here or not, will be clarified about the matter. Even if it means we will only make references, go back and check here. So the person who does not go back will know that he's the one that is failing. But will not leave any point without proving it. Or saying that we don't know is a simple thing. You either don't know, I don't know. There is no court where somebody is tried for saying that he does not know something. We prayed Salatul Asr with two lawyers. I don't know whether there is that court now. Somebody will be taken to court for saying that I don't know. How many questions were the Prophet asked alayhi salatu wasalam? And Allah will say to us, wa yas'alunaka an kada, wa yas'alunaka, yas'alunaka, yas'alunaka. Unless Jibreel come and tell me. We will not go to Jibreel. We don't have any Jibreel coming to tell us anything. But we can go back to the surface. We can go back to our teachers and call them again. We didn't get this one clearly. We'll get it clear. If we get it clear, we'll explain. That's all. So two things. We either prove what we believe, or we say we don't know why we don't know. The correct thing, ikhwa, is to say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu to the right, and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu to the left. So now you say, okay, what proves that we should say wa barakatuhu on the left? Because Sheikh Al-Albani says we should say only wa barakatuhu to the right and not to the left. I would have asked my brothers to say why they don't believe it should be like this. That is turning the argument the other side. It is you who say I should not say so. Why do you say I should not say so? So but to be the what they refer to as the egg and chicken narrative, English language, they have which one came first? Is it the egg or the chicken? So we will not bother ourselves with that. The correct thing is to say what barakatuhu on both occasions. This proof, proving it, will come from three narrations. Each of the hadith has its own discussion. But we try to mention it in such a way that every one of us will catch it. If there are issues we don't get, we can ask. If we know it, we tell us, inshallah. The first hadith is the hadith of Wa'il ibn Hujr. This hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. In it, it says the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he makes taslim after tashahud, he will say, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah ala yaminihi wa barakatuhu. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuhu. The first proof is that Wa'il ibn Hujr reported from the Prophet Muhammad that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam finishes his salah after the tashahud, he would say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu to his right. And he would also say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu to his left. But there is difference amongst ulama. This hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. And this report in Sunan Abi Dawud, that's what they refer to as Ikhtilaf al-Nusa, the manuscripts from which the book itself was printed. Those days, they did not used to have books like this. They used to write copies. Each person wrote his own in hand. Today I was listening to one of the scholars, Sheikh Hamdi Abdul Majid al-Salafi. Sheikh Hamdi Abdul Majid lived for close to 100 years. He is from amongst the students of Sheikh Al-Albani Rahimahullah. Despite his old age, he is amongst the most learned in this ummah in our time regarding manuscripts. He was talking about how he learned. In one of the stages when he learned, he said, Fathul Bari, in the entirety of that town, he's from Kurdistan, so he's Al-Kurdi, in the old USSR, where Ibn Salah is from, where Al-Hafiz Al-Iraqi is from, brothers amongst ulama. Rahimahumullah. Sheikh Hamza bin Majid said, at that time, only one person had Fathul Bari. So if they wanted to read Fathul Bari, they have to go to his house to be able to read a book. Almost all of us have Fathul Bari in our houses. I know somebody has Fathul Bari, In this sitting alone, I can count 10 people that I know who have Fathul Bari. But in those days, you look for one teacher who has a cell or color there. You go and write what you want, like a reference book you can't find until you get to the state library. So while writing, many things happen while copying from original manuscript. The copy you see in Oshogbo, for example, would have been copied from somewhere. So somebody has copied, with their hands. So if now they want to print the book in modern day print, they will have to depend on some of these manuscripts, which are referred to as manuscripts, not manuscripts as we type on the computer, because they are also referred to as manuscripts. So if you can ascribe ancient to it, ancient manuscripts, scripts that we are written with the hand. So in some of the manuscripts of Sunan Abi Dawud, there is the second wa barakat. And in some of the manuscripts of Sunan Abi Dawud, the second wa barakatuhu does not exist. In some of the nusakh maqtufat of Sunan Abi Dawud, there is subut ziyada wa barakatuhu. In some of the nusakh, there is al-khalal, no wa barakatuhu. Only assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah, he says in his own copy of Sunan Abi Dawud, there is no wa barakatuh. And he said this copy that he has depended on was the same copy that was depended on by Imam al-Zabidi for his book Mukhtasar Sunan Abi Dawud. And I think if you go back to Awn al-Ma'bud to Sharh Sunan Abi Dawud, this is the copy that was depended on. The copy without wa barakatuh. If you go to Bazlul Majhud by Saharanpuri, it is also the same thing, no wa barakatuh. Let me quickly add that here. If you go to Bulugh al-Maram, I was mentioning that I saw with my eyes with the hands of Hafiz ibn Hajar in Medina with Sheikh Samir Zuhairi, Hafizahullah, one of our teachers. We are discussing this matter, so he brought the manuscript with the handwriting of Hafiz ibn Hajar. It does not have, in that copy of Bulugh al-Maram, from where ibn Hajar referred to the hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud, it does not have wa barakatuhu in the second taslim to the left. In this hadith of Wa'il ibn Hajar, don't forget, we are still battling with the first hadith. It does not have that ziyada of wa barakatuh in the second taslim to the left. It only has it in the right. And Al-Hafiz al-Biqai, one of the students of Ibn Hajar, on that place he wrote sahha, sahha. That means this is the correct. So Ibn Hajar in Bulugh al-Maram, the correct in Bulugh al-Maram, is to say that Ibn Hajar rahimahullah affirms wa barakatuh for the first one and rejects wa barakatuh for the second one. But if you go back to other tahqiq, other checkings and printings of Bulugh al-Maram, I have up to 6 or 7. In the tahqiq of Sheikh Hamid al-Faqih, one of the oldest prints too of Bulugh al-Maram, he affirms wa barakatuh in the first. He affirms wa barakatuh in the second. If you go to the tahqiq of Sheikh Muhammad Bayumi, he affirms wa barakatuh in the first, he affirms wa barakatuh in the second. If you go to the tahqiq of Abu Mu'adh Tariq ibn Iwadullah, all of them, Sheikh Hamid Faqih is late, Sheikh Muhammad Bayumi is alive, Hafizahullah, Sheikh Abu Mu'adh Tariq ibn Iwadullah is alive, Hafizahullah. In the tahqiq of Sheikh Tariq, he also affirmed it in the first, he affirms it in the second, wa barakatuh. But in the handwriting of Ibn Hajar that I saw, upon which Sheikh Samir Zuhairi depended in his tahqiq, it stopped as wa barakatuh, it stopped as wa rahmatullah. There is no wa barakatuh. So what you will find is that they would have depended on other copies of Sunan Abi Dawud that has wa barakatuh first and second. Since Ibn Hajar is also quoting from Sunan Abi Dawud, so they would have just gone to the source. In Sunan Abi Dawud, no problem, it says wa barakatuh 1 and 2. But Ibn Hajar himself, and this is the correct view, the correct view for Bulugh al-Maram is that Ibn Hajar did not add wa barakatuh. The reason I'm talking about it is because there is also khilaf in Bulugh al-Maram. In some you see wa barakatuh 1, wa barakatuh 2. In some you see wa barakatuh 1, you will not see it in the second tafsir. In the hadith of Wa'il ibn Hajar, the correct thing from Ibn Hajar himself, rahimahullah, is that he does not believe that there is wa barakatuh on the second one. And I say this, bi'idhnillah, with affirmation. Although Shaykh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Tiyuti is of his opinion that Ibn Hajar in Bulugh al-Maram affirms wa barakatuh 1 and 2 in his book Al-Bahr al-Muhit, which is Sharh Sahih Muslim, and in the book he specifically wrote about this matter, Raf'ul Ghayr, Shaykh al-Tiyuti affirms that there is wa barakatuh in Bulugh al-Maram for 1 and 2, but it is wrong. That is not the opinion of Ibn Hajar. Ibn Hajar's opinion is what you see in his handwriting. And then there is a shahid to prove that Ibn Hajar did not believe that there is second wa barakatuh in Bulugh al-Maram. And that comes from the book Nataijul Azkar. Nataijul Azkar fi takhrij ahadith al-Azkar. We all know Kitab al-Azkar by Imam al-Nawawi. And Imam al-Nawawi mentions this book, this issue in Kitab al-Azkar. But this book, Takhrij Nataij al-Afkar by Ibn Hajar, occurs in five volumes. I'll tell us something that worries my mind about this book. It's in five volumes. Ibn Hajar dictated it from his memory. This book, Amlahu Ibn Hajar min Hibri. Five volumes. And the tahqiq was made by Sheikh Hamdi Abdul Majid al-Salaf. This book ended in 852 after Hijrah. Bulugh al-Maram ended in 822 after Hijrah. In this book, he is affirming that it does not occur in Sunan Abi Dawud. So what is the opinion of Ibn Hajar? Do we understand? Nataij al-Afkar. Ibn Hajar ended, you can ask me, where did I get that from? It occurs in the Muqaddimah of this book. It also occurs in the book Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar by Sheikh Shakir Abdul Mun'im. He gave the date for these books. So go back to it. This book Ibn Hajar completed its authorship 852 after Hijrah. And he affirms in it that I did not see wa barakatuh on the left. Rahimahullah. Hafiz ibn Hajar, he mentions in Nataij al-Afkar that he did not see wa barakatuhu on the left in the second taslim. That means that conforms with what we have seen in his handwriting in Bulugh al-Maram. And that his student, Al-Imam al-Biqai, has affirmed regarding him also where in Bulugh al-Maram. Ibn Hajar says, rahimahullah, يقول هذا حديث حسن الحديث of Wa'il. Don't forget, I said we have three ahadith on this issue. The first hadith is hadith of Wa'il. Ibn Hajar said in Nataij al-Afkar. The second volume, page 236, with the tahqiq of Sheikh Hamdi Abdul Majid al-Salaf. Rahimahullah. He says هذا حديث حسن. This hadith is Hasan, although he called it Sahih in Bulugh al-Maram. There's no problem about that. It says, هذا حديث حسن أخرجه أبو داود عن عبدة ابن عبد الله والسراج عن محمد بن رافع
كلاهما عن يحيى بن آدم ولم أرى عندهم وبركاته في الثانية. ابن حجر said this حديث is حسن. It's collected by الإمام أبو داود from عبد بن عبد الله عن السراج. الإمام السراج he also has a Muslim who converts his issue if Allah will. He says عن محمد بن رافع. He collected it from Muhammad ibn Rafi. كلاهما, both of them collected from Yahya ibn Adam. Ibn Hajar said, rahimahullah, وَلَمْ أَرَ إِنْدَهُمْ I have not seen with them, I have not seen them saying that what? وَبَرَكَاتُهُ فِي الثَّانِيَةِ I didn't see them say وَبَرَكَاتُهُ the second time on the left. So if we are asked, this book ended 852 after Hijrah. Bulugh al-Maram ended age 21 after Hijrah. So we can imply what he affirms in Nata'ij al-Afkar to affirm his view in Bulugh al-Maram. That is why I say that the correct copy of Bulugh al-Maram is to affirm it fil ula, yani fil marra al-ula, yani in the taslim to the right, wa barakatuhu to the right, and not affirm it wa barakatuhu to the left, as far as Bulugh al-Maram is concerned. That is the opinion of Ibn Hajar. Rahimahullah. So he affirms it in Nata'ij al-Afkar. But immediately after that, below it, Shaykh Hamdi Abdul Majid al-Salafi. He says, Rawahu Abu Dawud. Al-Imam Abu Dawud reported this. Wa indahu wa barakatuhu fi thaniyati aydan. So yes, Abu Dawud reported it. But there is wa barakatuhu in the second one too. He refuses what Ibn Hajar has said. What does this mean? It means that in the maktubat, in the manuscripts that Sheikh Hamdi Abdul Majid has as Salafi, the ziyadah of wa barakatuhu in this hadith. Now, Sheikh Hamdi Abdul Majid is in from our times. From amongst those who affirm the ziyadah in the second one, because these days somebody can come and say, Sheikh Albani says it does not exist. There are scholars of our time who say that it exists. One of them is Sheikh Hamdi Abdul Majid al-Salafi, a student of Sheikh al-Albani. He affirms that Wabarakatuhu is in the first and second. Also, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Tiyoti is from our time. He also affirms it. So let's leave our times. Let's go back a little bit. In Al-Muharrar fil Hadith, by Imam Ibn Abdul Hadi al-Muqdis, one of the scholars, he wrote a book just like Bulugh al-Maram. Al-Muharrar. This book, Al-Muharrar, those who graduated from Jamia Islamiyah, they memorized most of this book and studied it deeply before they graduated from the Kuliyah of Hadith and the past, as I mean. I don't know whether they still do that today, because you get aware that their syllabus is changed by the day. The book is Al-Muharrar fil Hadith. In Al-Muharrar fil Hadith, just like you have Bulugh al-Maram, Ibn Abdul Hadi cites this hadith of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu on the right, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu on the left, and he says Rawahu Abu Dawud. I have only two copies of Al-Muharrar. The first is the tahqiq of Sheikh Luqman al-Salafi. He affirms it in that tahqiq. The second is the tahqiq of Sheikh Salim al-Hilali. Sheikh Salim al-Hilali removed it from the text, but he came to the Hamish, to the footnote, and said, in the manuscript so and so and so that I saw of this book, two manuscripts, this ziyadah wa barakatuhu occurs. So what will you conclude? You will conclude that that is the position of Al-Hafiz ibn Abdul Hadi in Al-Muharram. Do we get this point? What is that conclusion? There is wa barakatuhu in the first, there is wa barakatuhu in the second. Another person who gave an affirmation for wa barakatuhu of this hadith in Sunan Abu Dawud was Al-Imam Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid. Ibn Daqiq rahimahullah in his book Al-Ilmam. I don't have Al-Ilmam, I have Sharh Al-Ilmam by him. Unfortunately, this Sharh of Al-Ilmam, the day I bought it, I was thinking that it will contain the entirety of Al-Ilmam. If I find the matn of Al-Ilmam, because it was there on that day, but I chose to get the sharh. If I have the sharh, I have the matn. Do you understand? If I have the sharh, I have the matn. But I bought the sharh. The sharh did not complete. So it stopped where Ibn Dakiq stopped the sharh. That's where the matn also stopped. It's saying me a lot. I would have bought the two. But I don't want to buy the two. I have sharh, I have matn. It's according to five big volumes, Al-Imam, Sharh Al-Imam. By Ibn Dakiq, he has the matn, he has the sharh. Saying Al-Imam, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Tirmidhi cited it in his sharh Sahih Muslim. So that's what we are depending on now. Ibn Dakiq al-Eid also affirms that there is ziyada of wa barakatuhu on the right. That's also ziyada of what? Wa barakatuhu to the left. Meaning that even before Ibn Hajar, they had been affirming wa barakatuhu to the right. And what? Wa barakatuhu to the left. So what we can say is that some of the scholars have differed regarding this hadith because of the difference in the manuscripts that they have. But I say, Allahu A'lam, what is most convincing to me is that there is wa barakatuhu in the right, there is also wa barakatuhu in the left. Based on this second hadith. This second hadith will give strength to the first view that I have. This kind of a discussion sometimes may not be suitable for this kind of a gathering. But one thing it will make us understand is that our scholars are not sleeping. Wallahi, they are not sleeping. Our ulama, they are not sleeping. In all of this, they are defining each of the references one by one. Imagine, I have only 7 copies of Bulugh al-Maram, 7 different things of Bulugh al-Maram. What about those amongst the ulama who have up to 50? They'll be checking the 50 one by one. I tell you this. They will check it one by one. They will know the name of the person, what he affirmed. What, which manuscripts did he depend on to arrive at that? That's why Sheikh Al-Albani Rahimahullah, he's known to say 2 things. I'll say the 2 of them because they are connected to it. He says, Al-ilmu bahas. Knowledge is research. When you research, you'll be convinced about what people will be going front and backwards about. Then he used to say, Rahimahullah, Al-ilmu la yaqbalu al-jumud. Knowledge does not accept not wanting to do something. You must be ready to do something. So Allahu A'lam, the safer thing to say is that in Sunan Abi Dawud, it is affirmed that there's wa barakatuhu on the right, there's wa barakatuhu on the left, even though there are nusakh where wa barakatuhu is affirmed for the right and it's not affirmed for the left. This position is given more support by the second hadith. This hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu. The first hadith is the hadith of who? Wa'il ibn Hajar. This second hadith is the hadith of who? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will make taslim and say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu to his left, to his right and left. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu to his right and then what? To his left. This hadith occurs also in Sunan Abi Dawud. Al-Imam ibn Majah report to ziyada of this hadith. So the issue we had about Sunan Abi Dawud, it also occurs on Sunan Ibn Majah. Ikhtilaf al-Nusakh. So you find some of them saying no, it is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. There is no ziyada of what? Wa barakat. But what is correct is that there is ziyada of wa barakat for Sunan Ibn Majah. Amongst those who affirm that there is ziyada of barakat in Sunan ibn Majah for the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud was Al-Imam al-Sun'ani rahimahullah in Subul al-Salam. He said there is ziyada of barakat in Sunan ibn Majah for the hadith of who? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. About what? The ziyada of barakat for the right and the left when we make taslim. in the Nuskha by the Tahqiq of Shaykh Mashhur Hassan Al Salman, when he employed the ruling Ahkam of Shaykh Al-Albani, ulama refer to it as Nuskha to Maktabat al-Ma'arif. Maktabat al-Ma'arif since that copy in Riyadh. With the Tahqiq of Shaykh, Muraja'a of Shaykh Mashhur Hassan Al Salman. It's one single volume. If you look at that hadith in Sunan ibn Majah, they did not affirm it below, above. But they come back below it and say that this occurred in the maktub, in the manuscript of Sunan ibn Majah. Ziyada of what? Wa barakat. Despite the fact that Al-Imam al-Sun'ani in Subul al-Salam has also affirmed wa barakatu in that hadith in Sunan ibn Majah. This hadith also occurs in Sahih ibn Hibban. The writing is that it's also affirmed in Sahih ibn Hibban. The report in Ibn Hibban does not have any issue. Before I leave Ibn Majah, amongst those who affirm that in Sunan ibn Majah, there is a ziyada of wa barakatuh in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud wa Hafiz ibn Hajar in Nata'ij al-Afkar. We mentioned Sun'ani in Subul al-Salam. Before Sun'ani was who? Ibn Hajar in Nata'ij al-Afkar. He says, wa hakaza akhrajahu Ibn Majah. He was talking about the ziyada of wa barakatuh. We'll come back to that. Because what happens here is that Al-Imam al-Nawawi in Kitab al-Adhkar, he says the ziyada of wa barakatuh, we should not be doing it. Because it's a strange report from the Prophet Muhammad. Ibn Hajar said, no, it is not a strange report. So he affirms it in the report of Ibn Mas'ud. And partly in the report of who? Wail Ibn Hajar. So that's why he says, فَهَذِهِ عِدَّةُ تُرُكْ ثَبَتَ فِيهَا وَبَرَكَاتُهُ بِخِلَافِ مَا يُوهِمُهُ كَلَامُ الشَّيْخِ. He says, فَهَذِهِ عِدَّةُ تُرُكْ. These are reports. He wrote a lot of reports. And say, these reports, they affirm that we should say وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. On what terms? بِخِلَافِ مَا يُوهِمُهُ كَلَامُ الشَّيْخِ. Away from what the statement of Al-Imam al-Nawawi wants to make us understand. أَنَّهَا رِوَايَةٌ فَرْدَةٌ. He wants to make us understand that it's one kind of a strange report from the Prophet. Ibn Hajar said, no, this report, the ziyada of wa barakatuh is affirmed. He affirmed it in the fourth taqeem for the hadith of Wa'il, and he affirmed it for both the fourth and the second, in the hadith of who? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. I hope that this point is clear a little bit. It's also in Sunan ibn Hibban, Sahih ibn Hibban. It also occurs in Sahih ibn Khuzaymah. In the tahqiq of Shaykh al-Albani of Sahih ibn Khuzaymah, he mentions some issues there. If we'd like to go to it, that is the only thing we'll discuss for today. But suffice to say that ziyada is established in Sahih ibn Hibban. It's also established in Sunan ibn Majah. It's also established in Musnad al-Farraj. Al-Imam Abdul Razak al-San'ani, in his own report, he reported it Mawkufa an Ibn Mas'ud. And Shaykh al-Albani authenticated that riwayah Mawkufa. Ibn Mas'ud, when he makes the claim, he says, wa barakatuh to the right, wa barakatuh to the left. That will further support the riwayah Marfu'a. Ikhwa, there are other issues, technicalities that the ulama have mentioned. Al-Imam Ibn Hazm too mentioned it with his own isnad, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he will say wa barakatu on the right, wa barakatu on the left. It's in Al-Muhalla. And others that Ibn Hajar has mentioned in Nata'ij al-Afkar. So if you ask to affirm wa barakatu on the right and left, who are your salaf on this issue? Those are the people that you have heard. Amongst them Imam al-Sun'ani, amongst them Hafiz ibn al-Hajar, rahimahullah, and others amongst the ulama ibn al-Dakik ibn al-Eid, and others that we have mentioned. I think it will suffice for an answer for our brothers who have attempted to eat me up on this issue since last Sunday. Except they have an issue. One of them raised an issue that Sheikh Al-Albani said that this ziyada of wa barakatuh in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is ziyadatun shaza. And it occurs like that too. In Sahih Sunan Abi Dawud, the fourth volume, page 150. But this ziyada is not shaza. Sheikh Al-Albani said that one of the reporters, Muhammad ibn Kathir, reported this hadith from Sufyan ibn Uyayn. And that the same Muhammad ibn Kathir reported it from Sufyan ibn Uyayna without ziyada of wa barakatuh. Ulama say tubi'a. He has mutaba'at. Al Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, Muhammad ibn Kathir reported for him to say wa barakatuh. From among those who reported for him to say wa barakatuh was Abdul Razak ibn Ammam al-Sanani. From Sufyan ibn Uyayna. In fact, from Sufyan ibn Uyayna and Ma'mar ibn Rashid. From Sufyan al-Thawri, all the Sufyan that have been mentioned, Imam al-Thawri. From Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, Waqib al-Jarrah also reported it. That's the other. That is the isnad of Al-Imam ibn Hazm in Al-Muhalla. Abu Nu'aym, Sahib al-Mustakhraj, he also reported from Sufyan al-Thawri. That's the other of wa barakatuh. So this kind of report, when we have these kinds of people mentioning ziyada of wa barakatuh in conformance with Muhammad ibn Kathir, it's not something to refer to as shaza. It's not riwaya shaza. What we say, jawaz riwayatain. It's correct to marratan, Sufyan al-Thawri will report it ziyada. For few marra ukhra, we report it without ziyada. وزيادة من الثقة حجة مقبولة. It's not correct at all to say that that hadith is shadd, as it was mentioned in Sayyid Sunan Abi Dawud. Others among the scholars have mentioned. In fact, that is the insistence of Ibn Hajar in Nataij al-Afkar. That this hadith is authentic. زيادة of wa barakatuh is correct for the right and the left. Allahu Alam. I don't know if any of our brothers have another issue on this matter that we have not mentioned. The third hadith that affirms it is the mawquf of Ammar ibn Yasir. Ammar ibn Yasir reported this hadith. It's collected in Musannaf Abdul Razak with isnad sahih. That when he makes the plint, he will say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the left. So if you see somebody do both, don't disturb him. So now, the three ways to make a taslim that we have discussed today. The first one is to say what? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This no issue amongst ulama. The second is to say what? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum. The third is to say what? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The fourth one is to make one single taslim. Assalamu alaikum. You just turn the head a little bit. Assalamu alaikum. Not to the right. As we will do in other situations. Just a bit. There's a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. She said the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes when he prays in the midnight, he will make one taslim. Yusmi'una. Some reports say, yukivuna biha. He makes taslimatun wahidatun, fayukivuna biha. He will make one single taslim. He will wake us with that taslim to say, assalamu alaikum. How long is atiji? So women will sleep, they did that. He didn't stand up, they will not stand up. Aisha radiallahu anha, once the theme, assalamu alaikum, we wake her up. It's also reported from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. He will say, assalamu alaikum. And there are others amongst, like Salama ibn al-Aqwa, amongst the Sahaba. He will also say, assalamu alaikum. So there are four ways to make the theme in salam. The first way is to do what? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The second one is to say what? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum. The third one is to say what? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The fourth one is to say what? Assalamu alaikum. We have 10 minutes before the end of our hour. We've spoken for 15 minutes. What we just discussed, we are supposed to be a roundup of our last class. I was thinking perhaps we'd only spend 10 to 15 minutes. We spent 50. In any case, we should start, we should go back to Adora over here. Except my brothers have issues to mention on this Ziyada of Wabarakat. They have mentioned Bismillah. Go Fatima. Further. La Shay. The author of Sahih Sunnah, Abu Malik, he mentioned that one of his colleagues, who is also a student of Sheikh Mustafa Al-Adawi like him, wrote a book on this issue, on the Ziyada of Wabarakat, on the right and the left. He said when he was discussing At-Tasmeem under Arkan al-Salah in Sahih Fiqh al-Sunnah, that he is going to do a summary of the person's view in that part of Sahih Fiqh al-Sunnah. And he did it. But it's not something to be praised upon. If you read what other scholars have talked about it, if you are researching a matter that scholars have talked about and they have varied, if you are now going to go into it, you must be ready to do so a lot of work. But the summary, what he's talking about is not really praiseworthy at all. It is necessary to mention something like that. When people make research about an issue that scholars have really discussed and they have varied regarding it, it does not suffice to just pick one riwayah or two and you start talking. What he wrote in Sahih Fiqh al-Sunnah regarding this issue is not praiseworthy at all. Just 3-4 lines and he left the issue. This is a serious issue that scholars have varied on. And you are living in a city where you have access to resource material. You are talking like this. Oh, it is some cake. You've not said anything. Go and check it in Sahih Fiqh al-Sunnah. I thought it's necessary to mention something like this. Because sometimes we read books like this. The brother tried in the book Sahih Fiqh al-Sunnah, but we have issues. May Allah forgive all of us. If you want to work on some people's work, that work must be clear. The Shaykh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Tirti is not the first person to do Sharh of Sahih Muslim. Before him, Al-Imam Abu al-Abbas al-Qurtubi, he did al-Mufhim, the Sharh of Sahih Muslim. After him, Al-Imam al-Nawawi, he did the Sharh of Sahih Muslim. Before the two of them, Al-Imam al-Mazini, he was among the four people who made Sharh of Sahih Muslim. And many others amongst ulama, they made Sharh of Sahih Muslim. So how do you make a difference? If you come in the 14th century, 1438 or 39, you want to make sure of privacy. You must be able to go back to all those things they have said, affirm what is correct, explain what requires explanation, and refute what requires refutation. When he came out with this book, it occurred in 45 volumes. This book you see, 45 volumes. This is just volume 13. Sharh of Sahih Muslim. When he did the Sharh of Sunan Abi Dawud, he said 46 volumes. Big volumes. So when you are reading the book, you know this man has worked. He has connected us to the Prophet Muhammad. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So but when somebody comes to write on an issue that scholars have discussed over the years and then you just mention one paragraph, two paragraphs, and you think that you have done a research, you have not done anything. Sometimes it can be very annoying. May Allah protect all of us and forgive all of us. all our scholars, all our brothers, may Allah forgive all of us. Sometimes these kinds of things, when we say them, it makes, when you want to do your own, to be sure that you must go back. I was discussing with one of our brothers, Kitabul Iman, Sahih Muslim. The share of Kitabul Iman in Sahih Muslim of Al-Bahr al-Muhit occurs in 5 big volumes. The Muqaddima of Sahih Muslim occurs in 2 volumes. In sheets of paper, in sheets, the Muqaddima of Sahih Muslim, 10 pages maximum. When the Sheikh handled that Muqaddima, he turned it to 2 big volumes. Qurratu Ayn al-Muhtaj. 2 big volumes, Sheikh Muqaddima to Sahih Muslim ibn al-Hajjaj. 2 big volumes. So when you read, you will read and read and read and read. He will tell you what everybody has said. He will tell you what is correct and the reason why that is correct. It's correct, it's correct. So, may Allah forgive everybody, everyone of us. Everybody is just trying this umrah. I think the brother also tried this umrah. But that death is not good enough, sincerely. We are coming back to our book, Ad-Durr al-Bahiyya fil Masail al-Fikhiyya. And we are on Babu Kayfiyyat al-Salah. We have discussed Kayfiyyat al-Salah. Who? That is Babu Sifat al-Salah. We have already discussed Sifat al-Salah. Abu Yusuf, harrakta ra'asaka. You should not go into it. You should go into it. No matter how small, let's start the book. We'll continue from there in our next class. Imam al-Shawkani says, Rahimahullah, Babu Kayfiyyat al-Salah. The chapter about the how of Salah. Kayfiyyat, the how of something. The manner something should be done. How to pray. He says, لا تكون شرعية إلا بالنية. Salah. لا تكون شرعية. It will not be approved. It will not be lawful. إلا بالنية. Except that we have an intention that we are observing Salah. So if a person stands up now, says Allahu Akbar, he makes the takbira to tahrimi. And he begins to recite Alhamdulillah Ya Rabbi Al-Alamin to the end. He makes one full rak'ah and says, Assalamu alaikum. He asks him, what are you doing? He says, I want to show you how to perform salah. Like Malik ibn Suwayd. You remember his hadith? Malik performed salah to Zuhr, in sorry, performed salah to Asr. And then he came back to the people and told them, I am not intending salah. I only want to show you how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray. So what is the difference between the first and the second? Aniyyah. The first one is Salah Shari'iyah. The second one is Salah Ghayr Shari'iyah. It's not the Salah that Allah asked us to pray. He's only demonstrating that to us. So he's not performing Salah. So in his demonstration, he can be talking. So somebody comes and says, Asa, you are talking well on Salah. I say, no, I'm not on Salah. What makes a difference between the Salah that he performed with the rest of the people and this one that he is showing them how to pray? What is the difference? That's why Imam al-Shawkani says, Rahimahullah, that La taqoon shar'iyatan, a salah, movement, statement, as we have it in salah, when somebody makes it, it is not lawfully considered as part of salah. It's not lawful as salah. It's not approved as salah. Illa bi-niyyah. Except and until the individual has an intention that I am performing Salah to Zuhur or I am performing Salah to Asr, as the case may be. One proof for that is the hadith of Malik that he gave to us. It's one hadith to prove wujub al-niyyah for Salah. But niyyah is a shart min shurut al-salah. It's something you do outside Salah, it's not something you do inside Salah. If somebody comes now and makes takbirat al-ihram, Allahu Akbar, he has started Salah. If he now ends, he will ask him, which Salah did you perform? He say, ah, me, I don't know. He has no Salah. Before you start Allahu Akbar, you must have determined, what am I doing? Which Salah do I want to perform? So it means, the niyyah comes before the commencement of Salah. The question you now ask me is that, what makes us know that Salah has commenced? That takbir, Allahu Akbar. Because Ali ibn Abi Talib reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, وَتَحْرِيمُهَا مَذَا التَّكْبِيرُ. He says, لَا صَلَاةَ إِلَّا بِالْتُّهُورِ. No salah is accepted except by tahara. It means tahara is from the what? شُرُوطُ الصَّلَاةِ. We discussed all these matters before. Cool? And then say, he says, وَتَحْرِيمُهَا. What makes every other thing we have been doing before salah become haram? It's what? التَّكْبِيرُ. That is what enters us into the salah is takbir. So, and we say we must have the niyyah before we get into the salah. It means the niyyah is from the shurut of salah. I hope that this point is clear. And we already discussed it under shurut of salah. But I think, and Imam Shawkani rahimahullah might have mentioned it here for emphasis. Don't forget to have an intention in salah. Know the salah you want to perform before you commence that salah. So he says, rahimahullah, لا تكون شرعية إلا بالنية. The salah will not be the salah that is approved in Islam, except that we have an intention to perform a salah that is approved in Islam. And the general proof for all of these things is what? إنما الأعمال بالنية. Every action must have its own intention. If you are making nafila, you have intention for nafila. If you are making farz, you know we have the intention for farz salah. So it says, لا تكون شرعية إلا بالنية. And that نية must be نية صالحة. النية, this alif alam and lam, is the نية that Allah will accept. And that niyyah is for the fact that this salah must be for Allah alone. If a person performs four rakats of salah, salah to zuhur, but he didn't say it for the sake of Allah, Allah will not accept it. لا تقوم شرعية. So the niyyah is that this salah is salah to zuhur or salah to asr. And I am performing this salah for who? For Allah subhanahu. So let's not forget all these. Allah says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ. He says, أَلَا لِلَّهِ الدِّينُ الْخَالِصِ. That the deen, the religion that we deserve to give Allah, or that Allah deserves to take from us, is the one that is called pure for Him alone. And that's not only Salah alone, in everything we do. When we come to Halqa, we must come to Halqa for the sake of Allah alone. When we speak in halqa, it must be for His sake alone. Amongst those who will be punished on the day of Qiyamah are those who spread knowledge, learn and spread knowledge, so that the people will say, ah, muhaddith. They will be dragged on their faces into Jahannam on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah protect all of us. We must watch this. Unfortunately, if you watch it at the beginning, it can come at the middle. If it does not come at the middle, it can come at the end. May Allah protect all of us. Yoruba have an adage, they say Allah no money. It's very common. When you go to any gathering, only Allah alone knows our hearts, all of us, people here. Allah alone knows. The person who stabbed Umar radiallahu anhu in Salah, he also came to perform Salah. Nobody knew what he had in mind. Inshallah. The person who stabbed Ali ibn Abi Talib, he came to the masjid for Salah. But he has his own intention. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى.
Each of us, we now have the reward for that thing that you have intended. In fact, we may not know if it's harmless. So if good, then good. If bad, then it is upon your head.
The issue of niyya is a big issue. It cannot stop. It is in every action that we perform as Muslims. Everything that we do, we must check our niyya. If it is not for the sake of Allah, Allah will not accept it. The serious issue, niyya. So the salah will be, it will not, لا تكون شرعية إلا بالنية الصالحة.
The good intention. The good intention is that intention that we direct to who? رب العالمين.
Very common. Sometimes we want to show to people that I know how to pray.
Do that once, practically, as Malik will do to show them.
We must avoid show-off in everything that we do. Like we said, this we can go on and on in it. But let us leave it and proceed, go.
Niyya Salih. Without Niyya Salih, there is no Salah Shari'iyya.
Many things happen in gardens of learning. May Allah protect all of us.
He says, وَأَرْكَانُهَا. I hope the first standard, the first sentence is clear. لا تكون شرعية إلا بماذا بالنية الصالحة. He says, وأركانها, and the arkan of salah, the pillars of salah. Those things that without them the salah is invalid. These are arkan, and they are part of the salah. We've mentioned this repeatedly. The arkan are those things that without them the salah is invalid, and those things are part of the salah. The shurut are those things that without which the salah is invalid, but they are not part of the salah. Like tahara. Is tahara part of salah?
No.
So without tahara, there's no salah. Like niyya. Niyya is not part of the salah. But without niyya, there's no valid salah. Satrul awra from shurut of salah. Bil ijma, bil ittifaq ahli al-ilm. We discussed all of these issues. So it says, wa arkanuha, the pillars of salah, those things that without which the salah is invalid. We can remember about ten. We can mention them one after the other. From the arkan of salah is the takbiratul ihram. Because without that takbirah, there is no tahreem. All other things you are doing before is not prohibited on you. Even after iqama. Didn't we read the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar and others, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, that once they made adhan, they made iqama for Salatul Isha. And the Prophet had a discussion in the masjid. After iqama, the companion slept. Between iqama and the commencement of salah, do we remember this hadith? When we were discussing mubtilatul wudu, those things that destroy wudu, is sleep part of it? Which kind of sleep? Do you remember this issue? The point is that even after iqama, we can speak, we can talk, we can move, we can make wudu, we can do so many things. That's we have to support all of you. Salah has not. But once we say Allahu Akbar, it's first rukun. Without that Allahu Akbar, Salah has not started. So it's the rukun of Salah. It's rukun in Salah. That's takbir. Takbiratul ihram. That is the takbir that makes the things that were permissible impermissible. So that takbir is from the arkan of Salah. The second rukun of salah is what? Al-qiyam itself, even before takbirah. Al-qiyam, standing in salah. For the one who is able to stand.
Anyone who is able to stand if he sits down, he does not have salah. Allah says, وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَالِ قُومُوا لِلَّهِ. So we must stand in salah. We went over to the dual king, to the dual king of the new. Ayafina fila, except nawafu. But salawatul mafruba, la budda min al qiyami fiha. We must be standing while performing that salah. So let's take qiyam as first. Because we stand and then we make a takbir to it. So qiyam, then what? Then what? Qira'atul Fatiha lil imami wal munfarij. To recite Suratul Fatiha is from the arkan of salah. For the imam and the person praying alone, whether that prayer is for the salah or what? Nafila. Everybody must recite what? Suratul Fatiha. But for the ma'mum, for the rest of us in Salatul Jama'ah, what is the hukum of Fatiha? Wujud. It is wajibah. So, the first rukun of salat is al-qiyam. Without standing, there is no salah. Ummahat. Don't say, you must stand up for salah. It's from the arkan of salah. Except the individual is weak or he's performing nawafil. Two, takbiratul ihram. Allahu Akbar. We must make it. Otherwise, no salah. The third thing, we must recite Suratul Fatiha. And that starts from what? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We have the hadith of Abu Huraira. We have the hadith of Ummu Salama. In Sunan ibn Khuzayma. In Sahih ibn Khuzayma. So Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is from Suratul Fatiha. So we must start with it. When we recite our Fatiha, don't forget, if you recite Fatiha without Basmala, you don't have Fatiha. Recite Suratul Fatiha together with what? Basmala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is the fourth verse of Suratul Fatiha. Allah Sahih. I think we discussed this matter in some details. So Suratul Fatiha, it is a rukun for the Imam, and the person praying alone. But those of us praying behind the imam, what is it for us? It is from the wajibat of salah. The fourth thing, the fourth rukun of salah is what? Al-ruku'. Al-ruku'. It says, warka'u ma'arraki. Warka'u ma'arraki. So ruku' is from the arkan of salah. And the messenger said, alayhi salatu wa salam, La tujzik salatul abd. The salah of the individual, la tujzik, it does not suffice. The salah of the individual does not suffice. La yuqimu zahrahu fi ruku'i wa sujood. If that individual, la yuqimu zahrahu, will not keep his back firm, where? Fi ruku'i wa sujood. He said, la tujzik salat. Don't forget, we said the arkan are those things that when they are not there, the salah is what? Invalid. This is what the Prophet said, alayhi salam. About Suratul Fatiha, ya Abdullah. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, we have two groups of hadith. Hadith of Abu Huraira and hadith of who? Ubadah ibn Samit, Bukhari Muslim and in other books of hadith. He says, La salata liman lam yaqra bi fatiha til kitab. So we say la salah. We say arkan are those things that without them there is no salah. One of them is what? Al-Fatiha. So let's start it all over again. The first one is what? Al-Qiyam. The second one is what? Takbiratul Ihram. The third one is what? Qira'atul Fatiha. Lil imami wal munfarij. Go. The fourth one is what? Al-Ruku'. The fifth one is what? Al-Sujood. We'd make all ruku and sujood in one single hadith. لا تجزئ صلاة العبد لا يقيم ظهره في السجود في الركوع والسجود. That hadith according to Sunan al-Nasa'i. And Imam Abu Dawud also referred to that. From the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. رضي الله عنه. So how many have we mentioned? Five. What about atumaniyanna in them? Because it says la yuki, you will not stand firm. Don't forget, he also created behaving like a cock. He says the one who does that does not have seller. So add to ma'niyanna to it. That is being calm in ruku' and being calm in sujud. So how many are there? Six. Al-qiyamu ba'da raf'i min al-ruku'. We didn't mention that one. Because we jumped from ruku' to sujud. The standing up you stand after your ruku' is from the arkan of salah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا يَنْظُرُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ صَلَاةِ الْعَبْدِ. Allah will not look at the salah of the individual. لَا يُقِيمُ صُلْبَهُ بَيْنَ السُّجُودِ بَيْنَ الرُّكُوعِ وَالسُّجُودِ. The individual will not stretch his back. Between what? Ruku and sujud. Why is that? Silkiyam ba'da ruku. Ba'da ruku. Naam. Ba'da raf'i min ruku. He says, Allah will not look at his salah. So those of us, our baba balagban, when they pray, many of them don't stand. They don't make iqamah. They don't make it. La yuqimun Allah az-zahar. They won't stretch the back, standing properly after ruku. Some of them do it out of old age. Many do it out of nonchalance. I dikita. Seyo baduro kenye bide naruta. Lenye ruku koto la sujud. Anandi ni Allah abou ni weirwe sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah abou ni baju. This hadith occurs in Musnad Imam Ahmad. Allah لا ينظر الله إلى صلاة العبد لا يقيم ظهره بين ركوعها وسجودها. Allah will not look at his salah. It means that is from the arkan of salat. So what is left? How many have we counted? How many have we counted? Seven. So what is left? الجلسة بين السجدتين. The sitting in between the two prostrations. It is from the arkan of salah. Which one again? Naam. At-tashahud al-akhir. The last tashahud. It is from the arkan of salah. And the last one is what? At-tasleem. So we can count about 10 from the arkan of salah. So al-imam al-shawkani, let's go back to our book. It says, wa arkanuha, and the arkan of salah, kulluha, all of them, muftaradatun, they are necessary obligations in salah. Wa arkanuha, kulluha, muftaradah. Wa arkanuha, kulluha, and the entirety of its arkan, I say entirety because he said kulluha. He said, arkanuha kulluha muftarab. And the entirety of the arkan, they are what? Muftarab. They are obligations. We must do them. Two things can now happen. A person can deliberately leave a rukun from the arkan of salah. Batalat salatuhu bittifaqiha. If a person does that, his salah is invalid. Somebody comes to the masjid, he wants to perform salat al-asr. After a comma and all that. Imam says, Allahu akbar in you, Nisa al akbar kakam. La salata lahu. And he will read surat al-fatiha. Let him read al-fatiha like Shaykh Mahmoud Halil al-Husayn. Let him read Abdul Basit. Even though that is prohibited in Islam, to copy the verse of another person. Sheikh Bakr Abu Zaidi has a whole book on this. Well, an entire book is prohibited. Don't copy anybody. If it were allowed, the companions, radiallahu anhum, they would have told us the voice of the Prophet. Do we like the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Any person who thinks that he likes the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh, Nifera wa Tuan, Sahaba radiallahu anhum. You can't love the Prophet more than the companions radiallahu anhum. Still, they did not copy the voice of the Prophet Muhammad. So who is bigger than that? So who do we want to copy? They copy the voice of Nabi. They didn't copy, Nabi, look at that. They did not do that. So who should we now copy? Nobody. That is the meaning. So everybody will read as he is able to read. Let me say this on a lighter note. In Ramadan, in Mecca, there is one of the imams, he is the one who leads Salatul Fajr in the last 10 days. He does not have a good sweet voice at all. You remember? Tall. He has a defect in one of his eyes. May Allah preserve him. Very old. And he usually leads in the last 4 years. He leads Salatul Eid al-Fitr. Salatul Fitr, he leads it. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. He has no funny voice. The voice is not sweet at all. And we have the sheikh, like Sheikh Salah Ba Usman, who is like an Imam Jabir, Ali Jabir. You know this, one of the new Imams in Haram. Although he only comes in Ramadan. Salah Ba Usman. When he reads the Quran, your mind will be shaking. SubhanAllah. It has a lot of trembling effect on the mind. Salah Ba Usman. Sheikh Abdul Rahman is today. Although he's not my second. My second is Sheikh Shurey. Then Sheikh today. And then others. Sorry, please. I'm just trying to say that. Sometimes the Imam does not have any voice at all. Allah will reward him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يُزْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا. Allah will not be unjust to anybody. So he should not come and say, oh, I want to be reading like today. And then old Baba starts to say, to declare this is not Ibadah. Ibadah is what you make from your innermost for the sake of Allah. You are not copying anybody. You are just focusing to your Lord as Allah has given you the ability. Just do it your own. Allah, so don't learn the children. If you want to listen to Khusari, when youth service, they used to push me to lead. I was Imam of it, I was Amir of Kopas at that time. This word, those times, we did not know that they are wrong. We could have suggested that they should use Ra'is. Instead of but at that time I used to read Quran like Sheikh Mahmoud Khalil al Hussain. I have to change this. Force myself, change this your voice. At that time when we got over, I say somebody should lead, they say no, you lead Salah. Read Khusari as you do. One boy when I said one day, he said I should lead. I read Khusari, he said, Kai! Recently, say so you can read Khusari. Say yes. We learn Khusari. Exactly like him. Bismillah. So, all of these things are wrong. Read with your own voice that Allah has given you. So when we know that they are wrong, we begin to change it by ourselves, by all means. Make sure you are not reading Khusari. You are reading your own. So don't read Basit, as they say. Don't read Al-Minshawi, Muhammad Siddiq. Don't read Sheikh Abdullah Al-Juhani. Don't read Sheikh Matruj. Read Sheikh myself. لا يكلف الله نفسا الا وسعها. So we have known the arkan of salah. So arkanuha kulluha muftarada. All the arkan of salah, they are all necessarily obligatory. Let us stop here because of time. The other issue will require us to, let us quickly mention it. It will not take our time. We had discussed them before. He says, "Illa qu'ud at-tashahhudin aw safi wal istiraha." We stop there. He says, "Wa arkanuha kulluha muftarada." The entirety of the arkan. We have mentioned the six. How many did we identify? 10. Kulluha muftarada. They are all obligations. Things we must do. Illa qu'ud at-tashahhudin aw safi wal istiraha. Except the sitting of the first tashahud, the mid tashahud, wal istiraha, and jalsatul istiraha. You know, it is sitting too. So we don't think that every sitting in salah is from the arkan of salah. So he exempted which sitting? The first sitting of a tashahud, and what? Jalsatul istiraha. So these two are not from the arkan of salah. But qu'ud at-tashahhud al-awwal, the first sitting for the first tashahud, it is wajibu, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded the one who erred in his salah. What is his name? Now, Khalad ibn Rafi. The Prophet commanded him alayhi salatu wasalam that he should sit that sitting in salah. It means that sitting is wajib. But jalsatul istiraha is what? Sunnah. So the sittings of salah have three rulings. Some of the sittings in salah have the ruling of what? Rukniyah. Some of the sittings in salah have what? Wujub. Some of the sittings have what? Sunnah. Like what? Jalsatul istiraha. Do we understand? I think it suffices for us to stop here today. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. If we didn't follow that pattern, first of all, explain salah. If we want to be describing this thing just like this, it would have been a bit difficult. But alhamdulillah, I can see, I think we understand and we can carry on with ourselves. May Allah grant us better understanding. Ameen wa antum fadhlun. I just want you to fly away. Hizul Kitab. When saying Allahu Akbar between the sajda and the sitting does it need to say Allahu Akbar again and raise the hand while standing for the next rak'ah? No. Only one takbir. I think it's talking about jalsatul istiraha. If you are standing between sujood and the next rak'ah after the first rak'ah, you know that jalsatul istiraha. Two ways. You can make your takbir between, as you raise your head and sit down, Allahu Akbar, you sit down, and then you stand up without saying anything. One way. Or, you stand up and sit down, when you now want to stand up, stand up, what you now do, you now say your takbir. Either of the ways. But you don't say two takbirs in a single transit time. Only one takbir. I think we explained this when we discussed jalsatul istiraha. What is your advice for a couple who fight always and they'll be thinking of divorcing each other anytime they fight? Is divorce the solution? In every marital discourse, not discord, in marital disagreement, the talaq is the last window, the last way to solve the problem, may actually be talaq. Even if the two of them may hate the talaq. I'm starting from the last one because Yoruba, you people don't like discussions on talaq. That's why when a brother divorces his wife, many of our brothers don't divorce properly, and it's bad. Ulama say one of the ways to recognize that a person is a fasik, they too, because they know the nikah. And the reason why many young guys don't know it is because their teachers don't explain it. They say, I'll teach you Gilama on it. I'll see the person see you doing the person say, what you? You don't know what you need to eat. Allah reveals Surah Talaq 2 in the Quran. Surah Talaq. The first Surah Talaq is Surah Talaq al-Kubra, Surah Nisa. Another name for Surah Nisa is what? Surah Talaq al-Kubra. And then Surah Talaq al-Sugra. The one we have before me. So, Talaq is not important. And Allah is revealing a whole Surah, naming it Surah Talaq. And then in Surah Al-Baqarah, there are almost 1.5 pages discussing Talaq. In Surah Al-Ahzab, almost 0.5 pages discussing Talaq. And Talaq is not important. It is something we should know, like Salah, like this. May Allah preserve our life. Bismillah, we will come back here in our book. After Salah, we'll come to Siyam. After Siyam, we'll come to Zakah. After Zakah, we'll come to Hajj. After Hajj, we'll come to Nikah. After Nikah, we'll come to Talaq. Inshallah. Gradually. Don't have it funny. Ibn Hajar, when we said he dictated this book from his memory, he did that over a period of 15 years. We meet every Sunday school. There we are meeting every Wednesday. So what you are doing little by little, by the time you count 4 or 5 years, you don't know how much it will become. You don't know how much it will become. So Talaq is the last solution. And it may actually be a solution for them to notice. Otherwise, Allah would not have legislated Talaq. Talaq may actually be the solution for themselves. One of the conditions where Talaq becomes wajib, is in Surah Nisa, Allah says, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا. Ulama say this ayah, this place has a mafhoom. If the husband and the wife desire reconciliation, يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا, Allah will cause them to come together. If the two hakam, the hakaman come together. They say if the hakaman come together, and after listening, investigating, that is one person from her family, one person from his family, and they investigate the matter and see that, look, the best thing is for us to separate them. It is obligatory for the husband and the wife to be separated. So Talaq may actually be a solution. It may actually be a solution. But the Quran also encouraged us. What did he say in Surah Nisa? وَإِنْ خَافَتْ نُشُوبًا إِنْ إِمْرَأَةٌ. He says, إِنْ إِمْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوبًا. A woman fears that there is discord, me and my husband, domicile me also. What did he say they should do? Now, our other, the woman finds that my husband is no more interested in me. Or the man finds that, my wife, they try to discuss, said, no trouble, What did he say they should do? He says, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَنْ يُصْلِحَ بَيْنَهُمَا صُلْحًا وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. Allahu Akbar. He says, there is no blame that the two, husband and wife, sit down and yusliha baynahuma sulha, so that they can find a means of making yusliha baynahuma, yani an yusliha sulha, making a true actual reconciliation that will completely resolve the matter between the two of them. Allah now give us admonition. What did he say? What sulhu khayr? And the best thing for them is to do what? to reconcile. And then he said at the end of it, وَأُحْبِرَتِ الْأَنْفُسُ الشُّحْ. But the man can say, me, مَكْسُلُ وُتُ, I don't be مَكْسُلُ. Or she can say, oh, me, مَكْسُلُ وُتُ, I won't. As it happens that it is the man that will say, ah, me, what you have done to me, I will never accept. The woman too, it may be that the man offended her, and she will be the one saying, you know what you do to me, I will not accept. Don't give me the divorce, let me go. Give me khulu, let me go. And then he starts resolving. Last week I have a case like this. The sister is saying, no, she wants to go. The husband is saying, please, please. In some cases, the husband can say, oh, go, I'm divorcing. The wife will be saying, please, it can be from both sides. So show for not personal aggrandizement. Inigba atoka. Yoruba call it a name, Kodoi. You know what is Kodoi? It's Yoruba that I have spoken. It may make people think that this kind of mentality. But Allah says was so to khair. So that's why, because so to khair, we always start from trying to make a soul. If social does not work, we read in the papers, one man, one girl did something to her husband. And isn't you reading? Isn't talak better for them than that? Talak is better for them than that. The Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he divorced Hafsa. And then Jibril came to radiallahu anhu. And Jibril came to tell him, alayhi salatu wasalam, take her back. فَإِنَّهَا صَوَّامَ قَوَّامَ, because she makes a lot of soul and she stands a lot in the midnight. The messenger, the Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he divorced Hafsa. The daughter of Umar. And you know what? This hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud from the hadith of Umar himself. Umar nubba hadithi wa. طَلَّقَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى السَّلَّمَ حَفْصَةَ ثُمَّ رَجَعَهَا. So, if you find out that the best thing with me, what will bring peace is, why not go for that will bring peace? But explore sulh wa sulh khair. Explore sulh. Explore sulh. So the advice I have for them, they should explore sulh. Sit down. What are these things? Resolve it. Sometimes they may find the issues unresolvable. The two of them can come to agreement. Do you know that the best thing is to just say, yes, please, I think so. I know a people like that. The two of them agreed that, look, the best is, let's just go our way. And they went that way. May Allah protect us. That a woman became divorced does not mean that she's a bad woman. Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah in Silsilatul Ahadith al-Sahiha, when he spoke about that hadith of Umar regarding Hafsa radiallahu anha, he says this is evidence that a woman can be pious, a man can be pious, yet they will not be able to live together. Sheikh al-Albani said, rahimahullah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is better than everybody. Hafsa radiallahu anha is from amongst the best of women on the earth, radiallahu anha. Yet the best man and one of the best women on the earth. How about us? So we should be sincere and look at the issues properly. And then sometimes invite people that are older than you to look at the matter. Many of our young brothers have issues like this, and our young sisters. Get people who have sometimes what you need to solve the marital problem, just one small issue like this. You just resolve it for them and the entire matter will go. So we should explore peaceful means. But we should not foreclose other means. وَعَفَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. There are people like that amongst the companions. Fatima bint Qais, she had the same case. Radiallahu anha. Our husband will stop at this. This hadith is occurring in Sahih Muslim. It has after in Sahih Bukhari. Hadith of Fatima bint Qais. You know where you say it in Sahih Muslim? Kitab Abwab al-Fitan. Abwab al-Fitan. Under Alamat al-Sa'ah. Because she was the one who also reported that hadith. The hadith of Jassasa. Anyway, she said, radiallahu anha, her husband gave her the third divorce. When he gave her, it wasn't face to face, so he sent people to tell her I've divorced her. Fatima bint Qais, radiallahu anha. She didn't like it. Third divorce. What did he say? At-talaqu marratan. Fa-imsakun bi-ma'rufin aw tasrihun bi-ihsan. فَإِنْ فَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ نَعْمْ After that, فَإِنْ طَلَّقَهَا If he gives her the third divorce, فَإِنْ طَلَّقَهَا فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرَهُ If you divorce her the third time, you cannot marry her again until that woman marries another husband. Not arranged marriage though. The arranged marriage is haram. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam referred to them as attaisul musta'ar. You know tais? Eure, bore eure. A man who marries a woman so that he can divorce her, so that she can go back to her first husband. What is he? A taisul musta'ar. What is he? A tais. Eure, borrowed eure. And he says, La'an Allah, it cost them. May Allah cost this be on them. Allah cost them, the Messenger cost them. So if a man, when her husband divorced her, the third divorce, she was saying that she was entitled to good food because the food the husband said she should eat during the period of Iddah, she considered it small. You give me this kind of thing? Oh, I won't take it. Use that. So she took the case to the Prophet Muhammad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, how many divorces? It means that he was not aware before. If it were with the whole nation. He was there. How many? So this is my third divorce. My husband gave me. And he's giving me this kind of food to eat for the period of Iddah, three periods of purity. This is what I should eat. I can't take this. This that. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is your third divorce. He said, bring it. You are not even entitled to it. So when a woman is divorced on the third occasion, she's not entitled to maintenance and accommodation. In the first divorce, and the second divorce, she's still entitled to what? To maintenance and what? And accommodation. But in the third divorce, which is the final divorce, that's the case between himself and her, until she marries another man before he can marry her back, she's not entitled to maintenance and so the Prophet collected it from her and told her to go and stay in the house of Amr ibn Ummi Maktoum. Amr ibn Ummi Maktoum. People call him Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum. The blind companion who used to make adhan. Because he does not see, so she can stay there. Okay. But the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you finish your iddah, let me know. So when Fatima bint Qais, her iddah ended, her period of purity got ended, she told the Prophet Muhammad. But she was a very noble woman amongst the Qurayshiyat. She was a woman that every man would want to marry. So at that time, three men came on this. They were Catholic. Ulama say each of the three did not know. Each of the two did not know. Two of them came. She finally married the third one apart from the two of them. You know one of them? Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, radiallahu anhu. Quickly he went. Sister, I want you to do that. The second person too came. What is his name? Naam Now, the second companion who came to marry Fatima bint Qais, Abu Jaham. Abu Jaham came. You know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many of our sisters today, if you tell them, if a brother proposes to you, tell me, oh, they will not tell you until they say yes. You only hear the information for us to nikah. Many of our young sisters now under the tour in their school. If they say, let me know when a brother comes to, she say yes. The next thing here is after nikah. But in her case, she went back to the Prophet Muhammad. Said, so and so proposed to me. So and so proposed to me. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وأما معاوية فسؤلوك. As for معاوية is سؤلوك. You know سؤلوك? A man who does not have money to spend on a woman. That was at that time. Because he later became Amir al-Mu'minin and Allah gave him a lot of money. معاوية. He said, as for Abu Jaham, لا يرفع صوته عن آتيكه. عن آتيكه. He will not عن كاتفه. He will not remove his soul. He will not remove his weep from his shoulder. So what does that mean? These days, if a brother says that about his friend that he knows, they say, ah, he destroyed me. Brother, since I want him like that, what did I do? He said, he brought me. But it is a condition where you must say what you know about that person. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suggested, who? Usama ibn Zayd. Usama ibn Zayd is younger than her. Usama ibn Zayd is the son of a freed slave. Usama ibn Zayd was black. Do we understand? She is from Quraysh. You know what that means? But Usama is the son of a slave. رضي الله عنهم. His father Zayd ibn al-Harith. Usama was black. She is Qurashiyya. Don't ask about her. She said, فَكَرِهْتُهُ. I did not like it. But when I remembered that it was the Prophet who told me, marry this man, she said, I changed my mind. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَتِكِ إِذَا قَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرًا. When I remember, Prophet said, marry this man, alayhi salam. She changed her mind. So she accepted to marry Usama. And this is the point of reference. She said, فَمُتُبِتُبِهِ. Other women, the way Usama treated me, other women began to jealous me. People have good thought of me, good thoughts. You should have, I wish that I'm the one who married Usama. Ask me Fatima. Allah Akbar. The point I like to use here is, she was sad in the first marriage. In her second marriage, she's a woman that every other woman is wishing to be like her. I'm trying to say that a woman leaves one man does not mean that she will not live well with another man. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.